Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
like a hammer.
Slashed and torn.
Good morning. This is KX93.5, and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And today I am happy to have as my guest Lisa Reed, and we're going to be talking about learning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Ernest. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm super excited.
Oh, good. So tell me a little bit about the aspect of learning that you're concerned about.
The aspect of learning I'm concerned about is, actually, I think it's really important for everybody. I gosh, everybody. It's really the learning between what's going on in our in between our ears, like that tiny voice, right?
Oh, you
have that tiny little voice
that in that space in there somewhere.
That space in between the ears, and maybe sometimes it comes out of our mouth, and sometimes it just stays inside. But it's that. How do I hear that voice a little louder so that if it's telling me something that's not serving me, can I change it?
So is it? It's taking charge of the little voice.
Yeah.
And yeah. Okay. All right. So why would somebody want to do that?
Well, because we're gonna just get right into it.
We've only got so much time.
One of the things that we talk about is the conscious versus unconscious thinking.
Okay.
And our unconscious thinking is about 90% of our thinking.
Mm.
So, and it's very powerful.
Things happen. You have an impression of some sort.
Yeah.
You don't really bring it to the front.
Right. It's beneath the surface of our consciousness. So, so most of our actions and behaviors are actually driven by our unconscious thinking.
Okay.
And so most of the time we don't actually know what we're doing, right? It's like, oh.
Well, if you're me, that's not like shocking.
Yeah. May not be shocking to a lot of people. But the fascinating part is, wow, what if you were able to access some of that?
Okay.
And when it's, yeah.
Meddle in that process.
Yeah, yeah. So understanding the parts of you that are not leading you towards your ideal, that to me is fascinating.
Okay. And so this is about crafting some kind of better life?
Absolutely. Like this extraordinary life. Like, maybe your life is extraordinary in a certain area, like you have a really great relationship, but maybe something at work is less than ideal. It's like, okay, let's look at that. Or maybe you've been married for a while. I know a lot of people, it's like, you know, they get married and it's awesome.
Like, and then you are married and you're
then,
like,
yes,
this rocks.
This is amazing. And then you get busy, you might have some children, you're working, and a few years go by and you're like, oh, is our relationship still extraordinary? I don't know. Is it? But it can be, right?
It's
kind of like, wow, where did I lose touch? Go on autopilot? Have I forgotten to cherish and give attention to the person?
Flowers anymore? I think there's a song.
You're so vain. I don't.
So aren't feeling it the same way that you felt it in the beginning.
Yeah, it kind of wears off, and I think that's common for a lot of people. I don't think that's a bad thing. It's just we get busy,
mm-hmm.
and
different
our time
focuses.
Gets, yeah, we have different focuses. Yeah, focuses, and so that's part of it. That's part of it, and I think that to me, that kind of learning is lifelong. Like, it can help you and serve you throughout your whole life.
Oh, I was hoping for the kind of learning where you do it once and then you don't have to do
you
anything
never, yeah,
else again.
Quick fix. Like,
just kick back. You're like, click. I clicked that already.
That's already done.
I'm good.
I'm extraordinary. It's amazing. I just, yeah.
It just keeps rolling like this.
Yeah. So I like that journey of consciousness, the journey of awareness, the journey of like, wow, how cool is my mind and where does it take me? And
let's take a look at this thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so how did you personally become drawn to this area of interest?
Well, it's probably no surprise, but I was it because most people, we do follow the patterns that were laid upon us in our childhood, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Whether culture, religion, our parents, et cetera.
Hopefully
and
there was some nuns in there.
Not in mine, but no. But actually, I was raised. My dad was a hypnotherapist, and
oh, okay, so then you're
so
already
I was
open to things.
Absolutely, kind of dinner table conversation
so you,
about.
Have you ever been hypnotized?
Absolutely, I have. Yes.
Did he make you do anything like
No.
Squawk like a chicken.
No, no, you. In hypnosis, you can only do what you're willing to do anyway.
Oh.
I know. So if you're willing to squawk like a chicken, then yes, you can absolutely be hypnotized to do that. But no, my dad used to hypnotize me. Like, say, for example, I had this little hamster named Snowball.
Okay.
You know, for all those hamster owners out there.
Aficionados.
You're hearing me. And they gnaw on their cage to keep their teeth down. Otherwise, they have to keep, you know, the teeth.
Yeah.
So that would be really hard to go to sleep when you're a little kid. It kept gnawing on the cage. So my dad would say, okay,
run on the wheel.
Each time you hear Snowball gnawing on the cage, you're more relaxed.
Oh,
and you're more, you know, it's easier to go to sleep. So instead of hearing the gnawing and going, oh, I'm awake, oh, that's annoying, it's...
And then, and sending the signals of, oh, now I've got to stay up and be annoyed at this.
Yes. So it's a little bit of an NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. They're reframing it as well. But, yeah, so... Or he might have me imagine myself as a little dewdrop on a petal of a flower, you know, and you're just in the morning sun and you're falling to the grass.
Okay, so that
different visualizations
that opened the door to this.
Yeah, so like so I guess my childhood was a little different than most people.
Well, you know, from the standpoint of being inside your head.
Yes. So definitely the power of thought and the intention was a normal conversation at our. At my house. Yes.
Okay, and so, but, so you were always kind of open to the possibility that there were different approaches.
Yeah, and like that we could live up to a different potential that we, you know.
Oh, that there's something.
Something beyond what I think is.
Like you might be living, like I might be living at like a 3 level, but there's like an 11 out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was always on this journey of. Oh, searching, fascinated. I love growing and learning.
Optimizing
like how can I
let's throw a turbocharger on this thing and see what happens.
Absolutely. How can I be the best Lisa, whether I'm single and ready to mingle or now married and I'm married now and a mom and, you know, it's like, how can I be the best mom? All those things.
Okay. Yeah. And so you have arrived at an approach, I guess, or a way of looking at your mind. What's it like?
Well,
what is it like being at 11?
I'm probably 11 in some areas, and of course still have more to go. But I think what fascinated me the most in terms of this type of study is the experiential learning approach. And that's what I had done a lot of reading and therapy and coaching and just, you know, fascination, personal fascination.
Tried a lot of different, people do that. Different avenues and angles.
You know, different people that you're like, oh, let me listen to that person. And when I took a workshop, it was like an experiential learning workshop, that really shifted things for me because it was in the moment. Like, let's see how you do right now.
Okay.
And that way, you know, a lot of times we like to put on all our, you know, it's like kind of a first date. You're your best behavior. Oh, no, I'm always positive and focused all the time. Yes, I'm a very mindful person. That is.
That's me.
Yeah, everyone thinks they're mindful, okay? Until you're in an experience and you go on autopilot.
Oh.
And that's when we start to figure out like, oh.
Wait,
that's
I didn't
interesting.
Do that. That's
I saw
not me.
That. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm young and cool.
Yes. And so having that, experience of my behavior and being able to bring it up to the consciousness was really fascinating. And that's when I started to really shift quicker and faster.
So how did they do that in one session? I mean, what behavior did they focus on?
Well, each person goes into the workshop setting with one area of their life that's maybe less than ideal. So it's
So you give them, you give them that.
Yeah. So I had gone in for love and money. That was before I was remarried. And I was like, okay, I know I want to get married, but I don't want to get married to the same, you know, have that same relationship, which a lot of times people think, oh, it's the person. So I'm going to break up with this person. And then I'm going to date this other person. And it's going to be different.
That's better.
And then they go, wow, I have the same. How did this happen?
You're the same you manifesting.
You are wherever you are. You can't get away from yourself. So I thought I would like to learn how to have a different relationship.
Okay.
And that started with me.
And so were there things that you were doing unconsciously that was setting the course?
Absolutely.
Let's dig into 100%.
Oh, he wants to know.
Let's
all of Laguna Beach is going to know my deep dark secrets. Okay. Well, let's just – hopefully there's thousands
everybody,
of people listening.
The guest is
tune in
Lisa Reed.
Right now.
Email address it.
No, so for me, and I think it's obviously individual for each person and our experiences, but for me, what I uncovered that was really powerful was I had this thought, this unconscious intention that I'm fine. I don't need anything.
Oh.
Which, this is where thoughts are interesting. That serves me very well in some aspects.
Sure. Yes.
Right?
Like, be self-reliant.
Super independent. Yeah. Self-driven.
Can depend on yourself.
Absolutely. So I'm not, so, and this is
handy in a situation.
It can be handy. I'm very reliable, right? It's here on time, right?
Yes.
So, and then there's another side to that where it's like, when is that thought not serving me? And that's the desertion.
Like in the beginning of a relationship?
Or who you're attracting.
It's I don't even need.
I don't need anything. Wow. So then I'm going to attract people who are great with that. You know, people who think, this is perfect. I don't have to give anything either. This is a match made in heaven, right? And I'm actually, I am very good friends with my ex-husband. So it's not any dig on him. Just our dynamic worked when I had that.
You know, people really like, you know, stories of disaster, car chases, fire.
I'll try to think of some.
Shootings. Yeah. Any of that.
Nope.
That.
I don't have but, you know, I think divorce can be a disaster, right? Even in the best of.
It's like a smoking crater with stuff strewn about.
It's still very sad. It was still a very lonely time.
And your hopes and all that.
Absolutely. And so I know a lot of people can relate to that where it's like you had that. You had the wedding. You fell in love. It was amazing. And you thought, oh, we're going to do this forever. Yep. And then
happily
all
ever
of a sudden,
after, right?
You look up and.
And it's not
it didn't
working out
work
that
out.
Way.
Yeah. So that happened. And that's when I really started looking because I thought, wow, I didn't want to get divorced.
You want to go to the back to the guy who sold you the guy and, you know, get hold up your warranty and say,
can I have my money back?
This product failed. It's defective.
Hopefully he's not listening to this one. No, I'm just, he's a great guy. But yeah, so then I attracted a different. So I came into my now relationship with my current husband very intentional and very aware that that assumption is lying within me. Like, and my husband now he is so giving. Mm. He would give me anything. You know, he cherishes me. He's very generous and I'm not just talking when I say giving like just monetary. You know, it's not. It's not that. It's well, it's
you,
a generous
you
heart.
Did
he has a very
to take
generous
off
heart.
All your jewelry when you.
I did take off all my jewelry, but you know, to be fair, that bracelet was from my first husband. So see, he was generous too. Just a different flavor.
I'm just saying, he's giving.
No, but yeah, definitely the wedding ring is my current husband is just phenomenal. And he's like. I had I not done this type of work, I would have probably continued to have that same relationship, and
with different people.
Yeah, yeah, and
eventually
and be
you've
wondering
gotten
what
trained to be the same
yes,
person that
and wondering
that wasn't
why
fulfilling.
I don't have what I want.
Okay,
it's because well I'm not asking for it. I'm not even aware of what I want, right? And so shifting
well, you
that
might
is
be
huge.
Getting what your what you know you want your mind wants.
You are. That's the tricky part.
You're the winner.
Yeah, is you're always in the subconscious mind, you're always getting what you want. It's always getting served. But do you know what it's asking for? If you don't know what it's asking for and you're not consciously getting what you want, that's when you start to look around and make that shift of like, why do I keep banging my head against the wall? This is not working.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have more of Lisa Reed. And we're going to figure out how to turn things around so you have some control. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning. And we'll be back after a couple of songs.
Reality never seemed to bother me, only just
Okay, we're back. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show on a lovely Saturday morning. And today my guest is Lisa Reed, and we are talking about taking charge of your life by taking conscious control of more of your thoughts. How's
Absolutely.
That?
Well, that sounds really good. Let's say we're increasing our awareness of our unconscious thinking.
Right.
Whether we take control of it or not, that is going to be up to the individual.
Aren't you in charge? Mind, do what I say.
Do what I say. I think it's like exercising a muscle. Like if our consciousness was, or a mindfulness or awareness, whatever you want to call it, was actual muscle in our body, okay, and we could like go to the gym and, you know, do some curls and be like, it. Boom, boom, boom. It's like that metaphor where it's hard to explain because it's not an actual muscle, but it does take working out and exercise and training and time.
So when we left off, we were talking about it in terms of your life and in terms of relationships and perhaps the choosing or certainly the signals that you were sending to the other person. How did you get a hold of that?
Well, like I said, it was through that experiential process. And what I did is that was just one workshop. And I thought,
we're looking for something like a dissection here,
yeah,
where we really see your insides.
Where we see the insides. And so, well, I'll tell you. So I did the
just
one
saying.
Workshop. And then I thought, okay, let me go out and practice that. Now go back out to my real life and like, let me see, where is that showing up that I don't need anything? And let me exercise that part of me of like, what would
happen
if I wanted
something? So in
the workshop,
what did you discover?
I discovered that unconscious thought that I was telling you about,
okay,
I'm fine, I don't need anything.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And I was really surprised because I thought, well, that's not true. You know, like
I'm
but
not
that's
like
not,
that.
I don't do that. No. But then sometimes we do, right?
Well,
sometimes
yeah.
I did.
Yes.
And that
you just happened to be all
getting,
the time when you were in the relationship.
Yeah. It just was I was training people around me to treat me
a certain way.
And so as I started to raise awareness of that thought, I could catch it in different places, and I could catch it. So really the three ways in which you need to develop that quote-unquote muscle would be to have an understanding. So if we talk about past, like where did I learn this? Why would this make sense that I do this?
Oh,
why
and
would
so
it make
there's
sense?
Some
yeah.
place where that behavior form.
Yes, that belief that like
the
you had
underpinnings
maybe a, yes.
of.
And so we made sense of something. Usually when we're kids, it's like, oh, this happened and that happened. Therefore, I react this way. And then we apply that solution
yes,
forevermore.
For safety's sake.
Yes, we're going to keep.
Tried and true.
Yes, this works. And that's all I'm going with that one every single time.
With, you know, in the sandbox, it's got to work everywhere else.
Absolutely. So we have this. So it's starting to understand oneself of like, and that's where I was like, where did that come from for me? Why would I have that? Why would that make sense? And then we bring it to, so that's the past. Then, of course, we've got the present that we're dealing with. So it's like, how do I catch it next time it comes up? Because it's going to come up. Like, I wish I could abolish it forever and it would never, right?
Yes.
No.
It's like, kind of, I think, a lot like our political climate now. There are many people on either side would like to wish the other people away.
Yeah, but they're not going to go away. There's always going to be two sides of the coin, right? It's just, it's that balance.
They're not going away.
No one's going away.
Okay.
And so, it's
and
that,
so you have
can
to
I be
learn
aware?
To deal with life. As it is.
Well, it's different. It's a yes and.
Well, that you know, there's not going to be a magical place where you go where there's no.
Where you're, yeah, you have no anxiety or anger or frustration or, yeah, no. So it's like, how do I manage that when it comes back again? Am I going to see it? Can I catch it before I do my shtick, you know, before I do my
before
I'm
you,
fine, I don't need anything
right,
or I'm not good enough or my whatever is blocking me.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, cool, I caught it. Great. Okay, when I can catch it, even before it happens, then I'm starting to have choices now.
Oh.
Now I have a choice of how do I want to proceed.
And laying down new wiring.
Yes, new neural pathways, absolutely. So then, of course, the third piece is the vision, your future, and having that compelling vision of what is it that I truly want.
Oh,
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I guess, yeah, after you stop going autopilot, you're like, oh, where should we go?
Yeah, it's like filling in. Your mind's going to want to fill in with something else. So you want to give it something to go for. And that's why, like, people...
Otherwise, it'll pick.
It will absolutely pick the easiest, like, boom, yep, I'm going to go right back to that. It's like when we go to the gym and, you know, our muscles are a little sore, and then we stop going to the gym, and it just goes right back to where it was.
Like,
I know that path. That's easy. So it's creating that compelling vision, something where you, like, it's juicy, and you, like, believe in it, and it could happen, and then you start...
It's like a taco.
Yeah, it's like a taco. It's like a vision taco. That's exactly what it is. It, like, read my mind. Sorry. Listeners, it's not a taco. We're getting punchy in here.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, it's something that's really exciting to you. Because otherwise, it's not
going
to be
that. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we've all tried learning like a new rule or applying some lesson type of thing, and just doesn't stick with you, does it?
No, not if you don't have some kind of compelling,
you know,
drive.
In the rough and tumble roiling world that you actually live in.
Yeah, because what happens is our resistance is so strong to change. And usually you'll hear a lot about, oh, you know, got to think positive and build up that positive, you know, have a vision board. And those aren't bad things. Those are good things to do.
Sure, they're tools.
Yeah, they're absolutely. And simultaneously, you want to, of course, believe that you can have what you want.
When you go to Home Depot, and I'm a guy, so, you know, you walk by the power tools and you're like, oh. And so then you get one and you take it home and it's in the box.
For a long time. Yeah, what am I going to do with this? I don't know. I don't know how to... Right.
I don't have anything to cut right now.
Yeah, if only had a big tree to cut down. all this power in this box is just sitting in the garage getting dusty. Yeah, that's actually a great metaphor. That is like our subconscious mind. We do have a lot of power, and we don't want to just let it go... unaddressed, untrained.
Oh, yeah, and making its own agenda.
Yeah, chopping off people's, you know, appendages and things like that. We don't want that. We want it to be, you know, thought out. Like, what is your vision? And there's so many times, I mean, I speak probably 50, 60 times a year to, like, different groups all around Southern California. And one of the things I ask is I say, what's important to you? What result do you want to have? And there are many, many times where someone's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want. What? I can't think of anything. Exactly. I can't think of anything. Or I have too many things. I'm like, well, pick one. It's just so many. Okay, well, it's just hard. Like, that's that resistance coming up of, like, I'm not comfortable asking for what I want.
Well, you know, they say in the military that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there.
Yes. And if you're not, what is it? If you're not living your plan, you're living someone else's or something that. You know, yeah, so it's like, what direction are you wanting to go in?
What do you want?
What do you want? And that question is sometimes a little harder to answer for different...
It can be scary because then you have to, if you pick, then you have to take ownership of what happens.
Right, or what if it doesn't work out? And so sometimes the dream of, the hope of it someday happening is more comfortable than the possibility of, you know, the devastation of it not happening.
Yeah, actually being out there.
Yeah, and being vulnerable. That's scary. And I get that. I totally get that. And yeah. I have moments of that as well. It's not like
and your mind has
on the mountaintop over here.
Your mind remembers those and says,
yeah, that didn't work out last time.
Right.
There's a lot of women. I'm skeptical. Yeah. I'll meet someone who says, I want to be in a relationship. I'm like, oh, that's great. How long have you been wanting to do that? About 5 years. I'm like, that leads me to believe there is some resistance there because it does not take 5 years to find someone to date.
Oh,
this is getting juicy now. Everybody tune in. Yeah. Ernest is like, doesn't it? I thought it took a lot longer than that. So this goes back to, like, we know what to do.
Okay.
We know the strategies. We know, like, oh, I can go on this dating site or that. I could ask my friends. I could, you know.
Right.
There's a million strategies to Sunday of how to find love in your life.
Okay.
Now more than ever. Mm. And so if someone is saying that they want to be in a relationship and are not, there is a reason why They're not in a relationship.
So, like, if I say I want some tacos, I just go get them.
Right.
Consciously.
Consciously. Yeah, well, hopefully. Hopefully consciously.
Hey, now. I'm revealing your secrets. This is not about looking inside of me.
See how I turned the tables there, guys? Did you see that?
That's
we're going to get Ernest some tacos, first of all.
I know. I am hungry, though. But anyway, back to you. Because remember, we're revealing your innermost secrets.
My innermost secrets, yes. So the other part that I learned about myself is that, there's lots of things. It's been years now.
Just pick the juiciest
the
one.
The juiciest that, one, you know. Is, well, currently right now, I actually am working on my self-doubt. And it's interesting because people say, Lisa, you speak,
right,
you're a public speaker.
Right, I mean, you're confident. You just come out there,
absolutely.
Imagine everybody naked, bam.
Oh, I never do that. That would be a horrible idea. I'd get very distracted. But you could do that if that works for you. But yeah, so it's like, does my self-doubt show up all the time? Of course not. But there are slivers. And I think that's cool, the discovery of the slivers of your thinking. Where at what point does my self-doubt stop me from moving forward to a bigger thing? Mm. And each time we're trying to level up or do a change, our subconscious is saying, no, stay the same. Don't change.
Right.
We like it right here.
Scary,
it's comfy.
Dangerous.
Absolutely. Even though our conscious mind is like, no, this is what I want. So
warning,
it's,
Will Robinson.
Yeah, developing that discernment of like of our own mind. When does my self-doubt stop me? And let me lean into that instead of avoiding it, right? A lot of times you're like, oh, I don't want to feel that anymore. I'm just going to.
Scary corners, stay away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dark areas. I'm sad, so I'm going to go laugh or whatever. So it's like, let me lean into that self-doubt when I can catch it. I know where it comes from. I know my history, right? And then I know, like, if I can catch it in the moment and I have that compelling vision ahead of me, then is when I can start to transform and lean into the self-doubt, listen to it, ask it questions like, well, why are you feeling that way, Lisa? Like, what? I don't say this out loud.
Don't
this is all
that.
In my
You'll
voice.
Take away its power.
Yeah, exactly, right? When you actually listen to it and lean into it, you start to understand it, come from a place of
what
curiosity.
What are you really trying to say?
Yeah, what is this really about? Oh, this is about, okay, I get it. You're uncomfortable because you're doing something new and it might be scary. It might not work out. And then that could be embarrassing. Maybe. I don't know. Or, you know, but then what would happen if you felt that, oh, I'd be fine. So you kind of, you lean into it in order to get through it.
Okay. And is part of this about fear and just addressing, I mean, your subconscious mind is built to keep you alive, right?
Yes. Safe, alive, familiar, right. Absolutely.
And so a lot of times it's not even such just the thing itself that's such a concern. It's that the onset of a feeling of fear.
Yes. And we, you know, to make it simple, we have four main emotions, mad, sad, glad, and afraid, right?
Okay.
And of course, then there's like a trillion under all those.
All
those
together.
Are like the main ones, easy way to remember it. And so fear could be one of those, but fear could show up in like anxiety or frustration or all different kinds of, you know, like it's not just like, oh, I'm scared because someone's chasing me. It could be
sure, yes,
other
yes,
levels
there
of
other,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm afraid to ask that girl out.
Yeah, I don't want to get,
say no.
Yeah, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want, it didn't go over. Again, that's where our history comes back. Like, it didn't
did
go that
once.
Well last time. She laughed in my face and that was humiliating. And I don't want to go through that again.
Yeah, everybody was looking.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to have more from Lisa Reed and how to take charge of your life.
All right.
All right. This is KX93.5, and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show.
Up and full walls. If you gotta do it, better live your life. Small town kids in World War III, and the money's getting bigger, but no one can come to see. The burning pours through the trees. Mother packs a lunch and says goodbye, and childhood days are drawn just to die. But no one seems to try to find themselves alone, feeling unclean, searching themselves for meaning. But everybody wants to live in a line, to be a star, to be alright. Tonight I'm gonna be someone. Tonight I'm gonna be someone. Tonight I'm gonna be someone tonight. I'm gonna be someone tonight. Everybody ain't telling out the ones to be adored and touched by the sun, to be famous just because.
But the hate is drowned by the frequent sounds of the fathers who beat their wives and wait around
to be served a decent meal. And the children dream of better days, where all they do is play their little games. And the generations come to only fall.
Your mother says to cover up, but the pain is dropping, but the frequent sounds of everybody trying to look around, away from the days when they felt okay. Everybody's waiting for someone to say, the time is come, we're the chosen one. To prophesy the empty lies the media makes behind their ties. Your mother says to cover your eyes.
Okay, we're back. This is KX93.5, and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Heckman, and my guest this lovely morning is Lisa Reed. And we have been talking about how to take charge of your life or get more control over your life by consciously becoming aware of some of your subconscious decisions, things that work on autopilot. So you had said, I think when we were just before the break, that, you know, you're a public speaker, you speak all the time, everyone sees you as mm-hmm. this super confident person, but there are places in your life where that's not, it doesn't transfer.
Sure, where I have self-doubt. Is that what you meant?
Yes, have some doubt.
Yes. And I'm sure everyone can relate to this, where there's a point that there's many, many areas of your life where you're really on point, right. You're in the flow, and then there's sometimes you're like, ooh, And I've started to...
Feeling unsure, uncertain.
Absolutely. And so I start to turn up the volume on that rather than shove it to the side. It's like, I'll try to really listen when my mind goes there. Like, it might be recently I began coaching speakers because I kept getting asked over and over again. And I'm like, so I surrendered. Yes, I will coach speakers on how to, you know, get speaking gigs and things like that. And so I now all of a sudden I start to see on the, like, I'll get an email or somewhere will say, like, this other person's coaching speakers. And I'm like, oh.
You know,
they sound like they have a great program. Maybe I shouldn't do this. And I'm like, Lisa, stop it. Get a hold of yourself. You can help so many people. So it's, but I'll listen to the voice instead of push it aside.
And so at the end of this process, are you like superhuman and like bulletproof? Nothing can hurt you?
I am waiting for that testimonial, but I don't think so. No, but what's fascinating, here's how I like to describe it. Yeah, it's like, I'll have people say, well, I just want to get rid of that thought and never have that feeling again. I'm like, well, that's not going to happen more than like, we have 30 thoughts a second.
I want a red Ferrari. That
ain't
happening.
Yeah, we have 30 thoughts a second. So there's just thoughts are just firing through our mind all the time.
Right.
And we can't necessarily, you know, control what feeling comes up for us. So, but we can certainly increase our reaction time. Like say sometimes someone might be spinning on something for a while and then like they're like reliving it or worried about something. What if you cut that time in half? Mm. Like what if you cut that half mm-hmm. time in half? Like what if you could literally like instead of being reacting and worrying and stressing about something for 8 hours, it was 4 hours and then it was two and then it was an hour and then it was like by
just
the time
the
it was
time
like
5 minutes.
Deal
with it.
Yeah. So it's like how much energy we put out there worrying. And it's like, wow, if we could start to get more connected with the stories in our head and know that they're probably not true.
Right.
Then what kind of life could we have?
Just simulations. Most of it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's better to have prepared yourself.
Absolutely. I had a client the other day. She was telling me this whole drama. And she's like in her 60s. And the way she was talking, it sounded like they were in high school. Her and the friends and the dramas that they had. And I thought, wow, my goodness. But, you know, it's all, she goes, well, I know she was thinking this and I know she said that because she meant, and I'm like, well, we don't actually know.
Yeah, we don't.
But it's very easy to have those soap operas in our head.
True. So if one wants to get in control of the script writing for your own soap opera.
Yes.
Take more creative control over the scripting. What would someone do if someone is, if this is connecting with them?
Yeah.
Find tools?
Well, I would definitely recommend them to go to productivelearning.com. That's okay. Our website. And we are in Capistrano Beach, just down PCH.
Just down the road.
Very, very close.
Yep.
No hotel needed. we have people start with a workshop called Beyond Reasons.
Okay.
Which is, you know, it's like we have what we want. We want what we want, and then we have reasons why we don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get beyond those reasons so that we can start to have what we want? And we take people through this really cool process in order to – it's a two-day workshop where they can really start to get a deep dive into that.
Okay.
And look at that.
Awesome. So one more time with the website.
Oh, it's productivelearning.com. And go to Beyond Reasons or Getting Started. But I have a special for those listeners.
Uh-oh.
Oh, stay tuned. Special. Get your pens out or your – whatever out. If you put in the code KX935.
Oh.
Whoa.
Look out.
KX935. You'll actually get a huge, huge discount off of our workshop. It's usually $800, but you can get it for $197 with your code KX935.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah. So there's that. Okay. So thanks so much for being on the show, Lisa. It was enlightening.
Oh, good. We talked about tacos and mindset.
Right. And now it's taco time.
That's right.
Anyway, you've been listening to The Importance of Being show. We'll be back next week with another show on KX935.